All right, Saturday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Welcome, Christian Television Network, to the TLP platforms tonight. Let's hop right into it. Let's talk about this whole thing. What do you even call it? Supply bill or funding bill, whatever they called it, where they're funding Ukraine, funding Israel, funding Taiwan, and there's lots to break down on this, so we're going to do that. First, I want to give you Matt Rosendale. This is a name that I never remember to tell you. This is one of the real Republicans out there. Anybody who voted to fund all of this, and you're like, what about Israel? We're going to break down Israel line by line in just a minute. We're going to break this whole thing down line by line. This is going to be some policy wonk stuff, but you need to understand how your government functions. I need to understand how our government functions. We're going to do this. So first, this is from yesterday, and this is about the rule change, but it directly correlates into today, and I'll get into the rule change in just a minute. Here's Congressman Matt Rosendale. Play for me, Will.
Just walked off of the House floor after we saw a procedural maneuver, which is to pass a rule in order to prepare to pass the legislation tomorrow that will send $100 billion overseas and provide nothing here for the United States. It's going to put another $60 billion in the hands of Ukraine. It's going to put another about $25 billion in Israel. It's going to spend about $9 billion to Hamas so that we can fund actually both sides of that conflict over there. I don't understand it, and I'm going to continue to do everything I can to keep this type of legislation from being passed.
And like I said, this is kind of policy wonk stuff, and I'm going to try to keep this as brief as I can. I know I don't always keep my promise. Matter of fact, I never keep my promise when it comes to keeping things brief, but I'm going to actually try to do that. Although I'll be honest with you, this fires me up big time. A country that's going to be $35 trillion in debt in just a minute or two, and I mean that a little bit hyperbolically, but within the next few days, we're going to be $35 trillion in debt. You can put up the next one for me, Will. Now, what we're talking about here, this is not today. The foreign aid bill, that's pseudo how it was titled, passed today. But in order for it to pass today, there had to be a rules change that had to occur yesterday. And you're like, Tom, why do we have to be so semantical? Because you've got to understand the level of your betrayal of who has betrayed you here, because you've got to see it, because you need to know that the Republicans are just a head and a two-headed snake. It's a two-headed snake, the Republicans and the Democrats. You want to say one is more evil than the other? I don't know who's more evil, the evil or the complicit with evil. I don't know. But there had to be a rule change to bring this foreign aid bill to the floor. And I'm going to explain this to you. I never understood it. I had Marjorie Taylor Greene not explain it to me personally, but explain it on the war room, Steve Bannon's war room. Now I understand it, and I'm going to explain it to you how it works so that you understand the level to which you have been betrayed by the Republican Party. Oh, Tom's anti-Republican. I'm voting Republican down freaking ballot in November. Understand that, because certainly the baby butchering alternative is not viable for any of us. But here's how it works. Real Mac Report tweet. Breaking, the House voted overwhelmingly to advance the foreign aid bill for Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan, and Gaza. The vote was 364 to 914 with 165 Democrats and 151 Republicans voting yay. Now, we'll leave this up for me because I'm going to need it for reference. What you need to understand here is policy versus procedure. A lot of Republicans, again, credit to War Room, credit to Marjorie Taylor Greene and War Room guests on this, a lot of Republicans will vote for procedure that allows for a vote on policy.
Yeah.
That clear so far, Aaron?
Yep.
Okay, so they'll vote properly for the policy, but if they were to vote against the procedure, the policy would have never come to the floor.
Yeah.
Aaron's got it, so I'm going to assume everybody's got it. So here's the thing. What I mean by that, they had to have a rule change to get the foreign aid bill to the floor Saturday morning. There had to be a rule change for them to do so, and I'm going to explain to you this rule change. Now, if the Republicans would have voted down the rule change, because most Republicans voted against the foreign aid bill, but most Republicans voted for the rule change.
Yeah.
This is how asinine idiotic the Republican Party, namely the Congress, and of course the Senate too, on the Republican side is. If they don't vote for the rule change, then they don't even have to vote for the policy that they voted against. So why vote for the rule change? Because they actually want the policy while voting against it.
Yep.
That's why they're on the record voting against it. So they get to go back to their constituencies and say, oh, look at what a conservative I am. You're not a freaking conservative. You voted to bring it to the floor knowing that the Democrats would vote it in.
Yep.
It's exactly what happened. So here you have it. Here's how the rule change vote went. 150 Republicans voted for it. 55 Republicans voted against it. Democrats, they still, of course, most Republicans voted for the rule change. And of course, basically all the Democrats voted for the rule change. The smart Democrats didn't because they know that it's going to only 39 of those because they know this is going to bite them in the rear end when they are in charge of the Congress. Because now I'll tell you how the rule change works. Ken, just leave this up for me. Well, I know I'm going along with this, but here's how the rule change. No, leave it up for me. Side by side, leave it up for me. There you go. Just I want everybody to see the reference on this. Here's how the rule change works. Now, there are four separate components. This is why I had to have it up. Four separate components in this. There appears to be three, but understand there's four. It's 61. I'll go over these numbers again. And again, I apologize for the non-exciting walkiness of this, but this is the numbers. You need to understand your numeric betrayal. Of this $95 billion for a country that is $35 trillion in debt that we're going to send, we're going to print and send over to Volodymyr Zelensky. And now all the numbers have come out that less than 50%, as a matter of fact, I believe it's 60%, is not showing up on the battlefield in Ukraine. So of the now that we were at $129 billion before this, now we just, entirely, everyone thought I was hyperbolic by saying we're going to send $200 billion over there. Well, now that we're at $221 billion that we've sent over there, just know that about $120 billion of that, nobody has any idea where it's gone. But we're sending it to fight for democracy, according to rhino capitulating, ankle-grabbing Republicans. We're all going over there to fight for democracy. And out of the $221 billion that we've sent over, we don't even know where $120 billion of it is.
Yeah.
No idea. It's in the wind. And Volodymyr Zelensky keeps buying beachfront chalets. Weird, isn't it? And you should see all the houses of his administration, how they live. They are living like Hollywood Hills bourgeois elitists because they are Hollywood Hills bourgeois elitists. That's who visits them in their palace in Kyiv. Kiev. So $61 billion of these dollars are going to Ukraine. $26 billion to Israel. Here's the problem, though. Out of the $26 billion that's going to Israel, $9.1 billion goes for humanitarian aid to Palestinians, which means $9.1 billion. Who runs the Palestinians? They vote in Hamas.
Yeah.
Hamas runs the Palestinians. So you and I are spending $9.1 billion for Hamas funding. $9.1 billion so Hamas can raid Israel again. So then Hamas can rape again. So then Hamas can behead again. So that Hamas can kill 1,400 Jews in a day again. You and I are funding it. It's almost as if we're funding both sides of this war because we're funding Israel against Iran while we simultaneously fund Iran by freeing their international banking accounts that we're not supposed to be freeing to the tune of $10 to $16 billion, depending on who you're believing.
Yep.
And they're the ones who directly fund Hamas and Hezbollah and have killed countless Americans using improvised explosive devices in all of our worthless overseas wars in Afghanistan, Iraq. No disrespect to Iraqi war veterans like Will, who had to go over there and fight. But he didn't belong there. What's the purpose? What purpose? Will saw all kinds of death over there and destruction. For what? What did Will get out of it? Nothing. What did you and I get out of it? Nothing. Do we even get lower gas prices? No. We get nothing.
Right.
Yep. Over and over again, we get nothing. $61 billion to Ukraine, $26 billion to Israel, but really only about $17 billion goes to Iran. Out of that $26 billion, $9.1 billion goes to Hamas, with $8 billion going to what they call the Indo-Pacific or Taiwan. Zero to the border. Now, Mike Johnson swore that he would never do this without locking down the border.
That's right.
Not a bipartisan border security bill, which is a bipartisan border invasion bill as well. It was with 5,000 illegal border entries allowed per day. And the rest of them are just after the 5,000 get funneled to the port of entry. And then they get put onto Biden buses and Biden planes and flown across the border or driven across the border. So it doesn't even lower it from 15,000 to 5. It lowers it from 15,000 to 15,000 per day. That's all that the bipartisan border security bill. So Mike Johnson swore that without locking down the border, he would never fund any of this. And he's done exactly the opposite. As a matter of fact, Mike Johnson, that's why the title of this podcast is The Catastrophe of Mike Johnson. Mike Johnson's spending way more money than Nancy Pelosi.
Shocking.
He Mike Johnson, this evangelical Christian, is funding transgender. For ease of conversation, I'll say he's funding it. But understand, whenever I say he's funding it, you and I, as evangelical Christians or conservatives, whatever your label is on the right side, literal right side of things, you and I are funding transgender surgeries, transgender clinics, $600 million to Planned Parenthood, and Planned Parenthood sending $60 million to run against pro-life conservatives in Arizona. You and Mike Johnson's funding all of it.
Yeah.
Mike Johnson's now funding this. And all that he's funding in Ukraine is, since we only, you would say, a $221 billion genocide of the Ukrainian people, since we don't know where 120 of the $220 billion we've sent over is, we can say it's a $100 billion genocidal, $100 or so billion funding for the genocide of the Ukrainian people, because the Ukrainian people have not won a battle yet.
Nope.
Folks, look me in the eye. They ain't ever going to win a battle. They don't have anybody left to fight. There's nobody left for them to fight. They got like 14-year-olds on buses. The average fighting age, not the average age of a military man or woman in Ukraine is 42. That's the average age. They don't have anybody left to fight. They lost every battle. They're going to lose every battle. Oh, Tom's pro-Russian. That's not pro-Russian. That's absolute fact. They've lost every battle, they're losing every battle, and they're going to lose every battle, period. All that funding this war is buying Zelensky another Egyptian oceanfront chalet.
Yep.
You're like, Tom, people can't be that evil. They are that evil. Now, what was this rule change? This is how it works in Congress. Here's what Mike Johnson had to do to even bring this foreign aid bill to the floor that all of these yahoos voted for right here. This isn't the foreign aid bill. This was the rule change to get the foreign aid bill to the floor. How it works is Mike Johnson had to change the rules to where each one of these specific foreign aid bill, each one of these countries that you're seeing or areas that you're seeing, Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan, and Gaza, funding their aid had to become an individual bill. And if I lose you, let me know. Will, yep. If I lose you, let me know.
Yeah, we'll do.
Because it won't be that it's difficult to understand. It'd just be me not explaining it correctly or clearly. So in order for Mike Johnson to bring this bill to the floor, he had to do a rule change, and he had to cut this bill in four different sections and then have everybody vote on it in each individual section. Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan, and Gaza.
Got it.
So that's how he had to bring it to the floor. Then all the Republicans can say, well, I voted no on Ukraine. I voted yes on Israel. I voted yes on Taiwan. Okay, now, it wasn't actually four individual sections, because I take that back. The Gaza section was inside of Israel.
Yeah.
So you get to hide the Gazan funding when you're getting to be arsonist and firefighter at the same time, funding both sides of conflict, which we're doing. Iran versus Israel, Israel versus Iran. Israel versus Hamas, Hamas versus Israel, funding everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Just so you know, just like China is funding Russia and Ukraine. So there's three separate components to this, and each component had to be voted on individually. That's the rule change, allowing these components to be voted on individually. Never, so everybody knows, never in the history of Congress have the Democrats ever voted for a Republican rule change. Look what they're doing now under Mike Johnson.
Wow.
They all vote. First time in history. First time in recorded history that the Democrats have ever voted for a Republican rule change. Ever in history. And now, for the first time under Mike Johnson, it's almost as if Mike Johnson has been bought off, extorted, threatened, or honeypotted.
Yeah.
Because for the first time in history, the Democrats have voted for a Republican rule change. The rule change is that the bill can be split into three components and you can vote on those components separately. That has never been done in the history of the world. Never been done. Remember, this is what's called line item.
Mm-hmm.
That always gets voted down, right? Well, for this one bill, or for now on,
yeah,
you can split the bills in sections or components and vote on them individually. Here's a little nifty trick to it all, though. You ready? Even if you vote against Ukraine and for Taiwan and for Israel, it still all gets packaged up into one bill and sent to the Senate as approved.
Oh, my gosh.
That's the truth.
Wow.
So even you get all these, I voted against Ukraine funding. No, you voted for Ukraine funding via the rule change.
Yeah.
Because you knew that it was going to be part and parceled into three sections via the rule change, and you were going to be on the record voting against Ukraine. But since it was all going to be packaged into one bill and sent to the Senate, you get to have your cake and eat it too. Because you get to say, I voted against Ukraine being funded, but I actually voted for it to be funded through this bill being merged back together.
Right.
That's how it works. It's basically $95 billion and split into three separate components. You can vote as you see fit. And even if one component gets voted down, it doesn't matter. It all gets merged back into the $95 billion and sent to the Senate as one bill. That was the rule change. And it was brought forth by Republicans. Did that all make sense?
Yeah.
So even if Ukraine doesn't get funded, $61 billion gets removed out of the 95. Nope, it still stays there because you're actually voting still for the $95
billion. Right.
And it gets sent to the Senate as a comprehensive bill. That's what happened. Just so everybody knows, that's how it worked. Here's a Fasan Sawar Khan video. You can actually side by side that, Will or Aaron, whenever you guys get a chance. I just wanted to show you. Now, here's where the actual foreign aid bill was passed. Wouldn't be on the floor, except for the Republicans voted for the rule change, knowing that it would be passed. You're like, see how the cesspool works? I can't remember. I'd give due credit. There was a congressman. It may have been Rosendale. I'm not sure. They said, you know, we need to stop calling Washington, D.C. a swamp, because the swamp is actually a beneficial ecological system. It's not a swamp. It's a cesspool with feces floating all over and some needles mixed in there, too. So the Republicans, knowing that it would pass if they got the rule change, voted for the rule change, and then they go on the record voting against the policy. They voted for the procedure. They voted for the procedure that allows for the policy to be voted in, knowing they would vote against the policy, but knowing that it would pass via Democratic vote. So what they truly wanted happened. Tim Burchett?
Yeah.
Tim Burchett said it. Okay, yeah. Good. Thanks, Will. Thanks, Aaron. Thank you, guys. Tim Burchett actually made the analysis about the swamp versus cesspool. So here's how the bill, foreign aid bill, $95 billion. Republicans, they voted against it by the majority. But the majority voted for the rule change to allow the vote on the House floor.
Right.
Basically, all Democrats, with the exception of the three no votes, voted for it. Now, can you possibly be right about anything when all Democrats vote for it?
No.
And Joe Biden has sworn that he's going to sign as soon as it gets to his desk? Can you be right about anything if all Democrats vote for something? But that is what Mike Johnson has brought to us on the congressional floor. We don't want to see the Democrats waving the Ukraine flag. As a matter of fact, you can just switch to the next video and side by side it whenever you can, Aaron, because that's where the Democrats are. Here's Democrats waving the Ukraine flag. Probably some Republicans too. Now this outraged Mike Johnson. Why, Mike? Yeah. Why does this outrage you, Mike? Why would this outrage you at all? You should be happy about this. You're just sending $61 billion to these people.
Right.
We know that 60% of the funds that we send to Ukraine disappear into the wind. You have no idea where it is, but you just send another $61 billion to them. And we are $35 trillion in debt. So I just wanted you to know the level of betrayal. That is what's happening to us. And again, I don't mean to be overly redundant with this, but I really want you to understand. The Republicans knew that if they voted for the rule change, it would bring it to the floor, give them the right to vote it against it, so the Democrats could vote for it and pass it. Because they wanted the rule change so they could pass the bill without taking responsibility for it.
Yeah.
Now they all get to go back. The 112 that voted against it get to go back to their districts and say, we voted against sending another $61 billion to a maniacal dictator in Ukraine. But they actually voted to allow the vote. They voted for the rule change to allow the vote. They wanted to allow the vote because they knew that the bill would pass because that's what they actually wanted.
Yeah.
Let me show you something about Ukraine. Here, now, I want you to see if you remember this guy. While wearing the uniform of Ukraine, it is appropriate of me to criticize the United States. Here's a United States citizen who calls himself Sarah Ashton Cirilla. Play for me.
I did an interview today, and I made the point very clear that while I wear this uniform, a uniform I'm extremely proud to wear, the colors of Ukraine don't run. I'm not in position to criticize the United States government or the leaders in the United States as to what is taking place with the aid bill. I can go ahead and point out why we need it. I can suggest that it...
So real quick, now, let's go have the next one. Here's who he really is. Play it for me.
Vladimir Putin, you are already in hell. We are counting your days down now. Your fascism, your totalitarianism will not get a monument, Vladimir Putin! Slava Ukraini.
That's who Mike Johnson supports. That's why every single Democrat, it's all the same. Listen, folks, it is all one agenda. It's like I tell you, to leverage you into a one-world commerce system with a singular access point controlled by idiots like Sarah Ashton Cirilla. Who, by the way, has now gone back because I went to go get Aaron could have found it. I could have sent Aaron on a hunt for it because we have it on our database. But I went looking for it. He's deleted all of these videos of him in women's clothing.
Oh, my God.
This is the military spokesman. This is a United States citizen who is the military spokesman for Ukraine. He's now wearing only, he is now detransitioned. I wonder where his boobs are.
Yeah.
He had boobs. I'm like, maybe they were just stuff-ins or whatever they were, but they're like gone now or some of these boobs are gone. He's back in regular military garb, dressing as a man, acting like a man. This is him before.
Yeah.
Right here. This is what Ukraine's all about. It's really all one agenda, folks. If you love transgenderism, then you love 9 vaccinations. If you love gay marriage, then you love lockdowns.
Yep.
If you love lockdowns, then you love gun grabbing. If you love gun grabbing, then you're a climate change hoaxer. And you're like, Tom, no, you know, I'm a Christian and I locked down and I wore a mask. You, listen, you were betrayed. You were lied to. You caved. You acquiesced then. You pulled a stupid. You blew it and you need to repent of it. Because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. It is all, that's why you see it. Isn't it weird that we have this mass transgender movement? And all of the people are for the mass transgender movement, forcing people to call a girl a guy and a guy a girl, are all for Ukraine funding too, and for the Ukraine war.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it weird that the American citizen spokesman for the Ukraine military is a man pretending to be a woman who is now transitioned because it's no longer detransitioned, because it's no longer politically beneficial for him to pretend to be a woman anymore? Isn't it kind of odd that it's always like that?
Oh, yeah.
That Bill Gates is also a devout abortionist? That the head of Moderna is a bourgeois leftist? That Anthony Fauci is a devout Hillary Clinton supporter and an abortionist? Isn't it kind of weird how they all agree? But yet the Christians take their marching orders from people like this? Slava Ukraine in some Christian churches.
Oh, my God.
Slava Ukraine. Really? Okay, Slava Ukraine. This is what you're supporting then. Understand it. There's no delineation. Volodymyr Zelensky commissioned this man. This fully penis man pretending to be a woman. He commissioned him. He pays him. And by the way, we just voted to pay him more. We're now going to pay Sarah Ashton Cirillo. We're going to keep paying him. He's in the Ukraine army. We're paying him. Now, I want to show you this. Bill Malugin tweet. Is that next one?
Yes, sir.
All right, here we go. Bill Malugin tweet. Because now all of that funding, remember, where's my numbers here? $61 billion to Ukraine, $26 billion to Israel, and in that $26 billion, $9.1 billion goes directly to Hamas, $8 billion to the Indo-Pacific Taiwan, and zero for the border. Absolutely zero. 15,000 illegal invaders crossing our southern border. Every day, zero goes to them. We're going to defend the invasion at the eastern border of Ukraine, but not the invasion in the southern border of the United States of America.
Right.
So Bill Malugin from Fox News tweets out some text from Border Patrol and ICE contacts after I asked for their response to the $95 billion in foreign aid passing the House, but nothing in this package for U.S. border security, as promised by Mike Johnson, as border numbers begin to rise again. Unbelievable. We're screwed. So messed up, says the CBP, just so you know. All right, let's go to the next one, Will. I wanted to show you this video. It's old. It's from a month ago, but it's so good that I had to show it to you because I never got to it on the podcast. I actually tweeted it out. It's from Fox News and Bill Malugin again. So credit to them. But we aren't, no matter what the Democrats say, just like Democrats say the crime stats are down, I've explained to you numerous times that the crime stats are not down. They're through the roof. They're just counting them differently, just like they did with COVID numbers, vaccine injured, vaccine hospitalizations, vaccine deaths. It's all just manipulated numbers done for the political benefit of the Democratic Party and the globalist left. We have a massive, massive, catastrophic illegal immigrant crime problem in the United States of America, precipitated by the Biden administration in compliance with ICE, who refuses to put retainers on illegals. And when they do, oftentimes it's far too late. And even when they do have retainers on them, sanctuary cities like Boston does not comply with them. Watch this video. Play for me, Will.
Any questions? You can talk to your team later.
It's the pre-dawn hours in Boston.
Kid has a real violent history.
And this elite team of ICE deportation officers is briefing on their target list for the day. Illegal aliens charged with egregious crimes.
All the targets today, every single one of them is an aggravated felony here in the Commonwealth. So these are really the cases that are the worst of the worst here in Massachusetts.
ICE quickly takes down its first target, an illegal alien from Guatemala charged with aggravated child rape. Minutes later, ICE arrests a Colombian national charged with the rape of a child above age 14.
I don't have enough officers or resources to tackle every one of these public safety threats. Are we going after the child rapist today, or are we going to go after that two times deported fentanyl dealer? Because we can't get both.
ICE's next arrest, a combative MS-13 gang member from El Salvador, charged with a slew of violent crimes. Officers then arrested this Brazilian man, charged with five counts of aggravated rape of a child.
How are you guys not notified about a child rapist being released?
Unfortunately, in Massachusetts, that's how it is with most of these sanctuary jurisdictions.
A short time later, ICE took down their final target, a Brazilian gang member, also charged with child rape.
Just this morning today, four accused child rapists and one MS-13 gang member. Those are the kind of people you're going after.
That's every day up here in Boston. Those are the public safety threats that we really want to get off the street. It was a great day for the teams. That's five public safety threats that are in the community going to go ahead and victimize anyone else.
And ICE says all of those arrests you just saw happen because local authorities ignored their detainer request to keep these guys in custody due to sanctuary policies. ICE says all of those suspects will remain in federal custody until their local charges are resolved. Then ICE will seek to deport every single one of them. Wow. Listen, back to you.
And making a point of doing it in a city like Boston with the sanctuary policies in place. Really intriguing stuff, Bill. We'll see what comes of it next. Thank you. Bill Malugin.
We all need to remember, and again, I'm not talking about any sort of violence at all. Please understand that. Only violence that ever is justified is self-defense. I'm just telling you, if entire cities can violate federal law, then why do we ever put a mask on?
Yeah.
Why would you ever lock down your businesses at federal command or even state command? If you have an entire city like Boston, which is all left-hard morons that run the show, not every citizen, but the left-hard morons who run the show, They're a sanctuary city. They have Fortnite. Did you hear the charges? I mean, I wrote it as four child rapists. It was way worse than that. This is four child rapists, but each one of them had multiple offenses of raping children. They were all arrested, and one MS-13 gang member. They were all arrested. ICE actually, for once, did its job, sent what's called a retainer or detainer. I'm not sure which one was called a retainer. Sends a retainer to the BBB, the Boston Police Department, that you have to hold these people. But because they're a sanctuary city, they blew off the federal government. They blew off ICE and let them out on the street to rape again, including an MS-13 gang member. So if they're allowed to do that, then why would you ever buy an electric vehicle at the government's command?
Right.
Why would you ever lock down? Why would you ever stand 6 feet apart? Why would you ever go into your home because there's too much CO2 in the air, as I anticipate their future commands? Why would you? What's the consequences to them? Nothing. ICE just came in and arrested them themselves because the Boston Police Department refuses to do it because they're a sanctuary city. Now, let me show you a leftist attitude because Aaron just found the video for me. What's his name? Kenny?
Kenny, yeah.
Do you know his first name? Oh, Mayor, it's okay. Mayor, this is Mayor Kenny of Philadelphia. Now, different city, but look at his reaction to just finding out that somehow they've become a sanctuary city. I'm just curious, how do you become a sanctuary city? You vote in that you're saying, so imagine it. Yeah, it's some sort of process because he's rejoicing at the fact that this process has now deemed him to be a sanctuary city, deemed Philadelphia to be a sanctuary city. And he's real excited about it. So you can now blow off all federal law. So why can't Texas just deport? Why can't we? That's the other big one. How am I forgetting this? Why can't we just deport everybody then? We just call ourselves a Mayorkas sanctuary area. We're Jim Kenny. Thank you. This is Jim Kenny, mayor of Philadelphia. We'll just call ourselves a Mayorkas sanctuary. We're a sanctuary from Mayorkas. We'll do whatever we want.
Yeah.
Is it they're DHS, right? DHS? Yeah. DHS secretary. We're going to be, it gets confusing with Javier Bucuria. That's as Biden calls him.
HHS.
That's HHS. And you got DHS, which is Alejandro Mayorkas. But. So, I mean, why can't we? We'll just deport everybody. What are they going to do about it? What's Joe Biden done about it? Nothing. Greg Abbott says we're deporting people. There's nothing you can do about it. He ain't doing nothing about it. That's how we all need to do it. Because if you can declare yourself a sanctuary city and not obey federal ICE detainers, then you can do, basically, listen, again, I'm not talking about violence. You can just disregard them. Joe Biden is paying back student loans in direct contradiction to the SCOTUS precedent ruling saying that he can't.
Yep.
And by the way, we're paying for that too, because there is no loan forgiveness. It's just one person pays or the other one pays. Simple as that. Here's Jim Kenny finding out that he's a sanctuary city in Philadelphia.
A sanctuary city, yeah. A sanctuary city, yeah.
So congratulations, Jim Kenny. I guess they're going to let out their child rapists too. After they receive an ICE detainer to keep the child rapists in your Philadelphia jail, Larry Krasner, Soros bought and paid for district attorney, is just going to let him out, just like they do in Boston. And if they can do it, then we should be able to load people up in buses and planes and just drive them to the southern border and boot them across. Mm-hmm. And they tell you to stand 6 feet apart, you tell them to shove it 6 feet up. Now, you're wondering how, now again, I'm going back to the bill, the foreign aid bill that sent nothing to ICE, nothing to the CBP, nothing to kick out illegal border invaders, nothing to secure the southern border. So Texas is paying for it. And they're using the Texas National Guard to do it. Again, just reiterating to you what happened in Eagle Pass, Shelby Park, Eagle Pass, Texas. 3,000 illegal border invaders per day crossing that border at Eagle Pass, the southern border at Eagle Pass. They go from 3,000, put about 100 grand worth of razor wire, zero. Zero now. Zero per day cross an Eagle Pass. Remember all the giant encampments? The migrant camps, the illegal border invader camps right at Eagle Pass and Shelby Park? Ain't none now.
Yeah.
Put up 100 grand worth of razor wire. We don't even need Trump's $8 billion wall. We need about I don't know, $100 million worth of razor wire. We could have, you know, remember $61 billion to Ukraine? Please remember that every one of those billions is a thousand millions. Jeez. And if we just took $100 million worth of razor wire, put it along the southern border, ain't nobody getting through there. Nobody's getting through razor wire, folks. Take you days to cut through there. Ain't getting through it. So you're wondering why it is that Mike Johnson decided not to give any border funding at all and send $95 billion overseas that were simply, it's monopoly money. Who is Mike Johnson really? Who is Lindsey Graham really? Who are most Republicans really? Who are they really? Are they really us? And I'm not saying start a third party right now. I'm Republican, I'm voting Republican. I'm just telling you, are they really us? And if they're not us, we need to vote in genuine conservatives. End wokeness video, Mike Johnson believes that he believes in white privilege and wokeness. He does. Listen to his own words. Play for me.
What did you feel when you watched the video of George Floyd being killed?
I was outraged. I don't think anyone can view the video and objectively come to any other conclusion but that it was an act of murder. And I felt that initially, as everyone did. It's so disturbing. And, you know, the underlying issues beneath that are something that the country is now struggling with. And I think it's something we have to look at very soberly and with a lot of empathy. And I'm glad to see that's happening around the country. You know, what it's taught me is we now have four other children of our own. And my oldest son, Jack, ironically, this year is 14. And I've thought often through all these ordeals over the last couple of weeks about the difference in the experiences between my two 14-year-old sons, Michael being a Black American and Jack being white, Caucasian. They have different challenges. My son Jack has an easier path. He just does. The interesting thing about both of these kids, Michael and Jack, is they're both handsome, articulate, really talented kids, gifted by God to do lots of things. But the reality is, and no one can tell me otherwise, my son Michael had a harder time than my son Jack is going to have simply because of the color of his skin. And that's a reality. It's an uncomfortable, painful one to acknowledge, but people have to recognize that's a fact.
What should we do about that?
I think that we really do need systematic change. I think we need transformative solutions.
Yeah, we need systemic change for sure. And that is all right racism being gone. Mm-hmm. Not, you know, you got to have this amount of Black people, this amount of Hispanic people, forget about the Asians and the whites, all the racism that's actually going on. And that racism is called CRT and DEI.
Yep.
That needs to be gone. Everything that Mike, you see what a cuckboy he is? He's a cuckboy for the left. He's saying he adopted a Black son, so he's saying his white son has a much easier path than his Black son. Really? Are there racial quotas for the whites? And that makes Tom a racist because I want racial quotas gone. How am I a racist when I want racial quotas gone? Just want everybody having it. By the way, it's now bitten the Asian community in the rear end because they are being siphoned out of educational institutions because they score the best.
Yep.
And they're being kicked out because you've got to have diversity, equity, and inclusion. So it doesn't matter. It's not a merit-based outcome anymore. It's an equity-based outcome now. And just let me cover this. Mike Johnson said that George Floyd was murdered. Killed first, murdered second. That's what he said. George Floyd was not murdered. Who would ever say that he wasn't murdered? That would be the medical examiner.
Yeah.
George Floyd did not die of asphyxiation, so how was he murdered? He had three times the lethal amount of fentanyl in his bloodstream. That's how he died, and that was the cause of death in the coroner report. But you're going to be such a mouthpiece cuck boy for the left that you're going to espouse a bold-faced lie. Well, Derek Chauvin was convicted. Donald Trump's about to be convicted, folks, of a crime that doesn't even exist. I mean, literally a crime. He's going to be found guilty by a group of his, a jury of his peers.
Yeah.
in an area that votes 87% Democrat. Why not move it to Staten Island when it's 50-50? Oh, yeah. We can't have that. Can't have a fair trial. With a judge whose daughter has raised $100 million off the trial so far, she gets 10% of that. She's made $10 million in her own pocket. And the longer the trial goes, the more money she raises. But Judge Mershon is not politically biased. When his daughter, Lauren Mershon, is raising money off of the trial that he's presiding over.
Of course not.
So, but Derek Chauvin was found guilty. Okay, but if George Floyd had 95% oxygenation in his lungs at the moment of death, Second that he died, he had 95% oxygenation in his lungs, which means perfectly healthy. Mm-hmm. He was receiving all necessary. But I saw the video. I saw the video with Derek Chauvin with his knee on his neck. Now, listen, I've handled thousands of police calls, 25 years worth, 92 to 2017. I don't agree with how Derek Chauvin or the MPB and PB and PD, Minneapolis Police Department, handled it. I don't. I would have stood the man up. However, Derek Chauvin did not kill him. Even with his knee, how are you going to strangle with your knee in the back of your neck? I'm doing it right now. You know what? I've still got full airflow.
Yeah.
Weird, isn't it? I got full airflow right now. You know, there's no airway to block. And your carotid arteries are right here.
Right.
And he had no bruising to the back of his neck.
Right.
He had no trauma anywhere in his neck.
Exactly.
And he had 95% oxygenation at the moment that he died. So if Derek Chauvin didn't asphyxiate him to death, then he died of something else. But Derek Chauvin has been found guilty of asphyxiating him to death. That is really where we're at. He was not asphyxiated, but Derek Chauvin has been found guilty of asphyxiating him to death.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that? You are being convicted of strangling somebody, and the medical examiner says he wasn't strangled. That's exactly. But Mike Johnson, he believes in white privilege. He believes that his black son is a harder path than his white son. That's why he's not us. He's not a conservative. We don't care about race. As they call us racist, we don't care about race. All right, let me get off Mike Johnson. I only got 14 minutes left, and I could do the whole 14 minutes on Mike Johnson right now. Just rampage for 14 straight minutes. Yeah, let me do Midas. We'll do Midas real quick. Give me 60 seconds on this, and then we're going to go to Title IX. Then we're going to go to vaccines as we close out the show here in the next 14 minutes. Midas Gold Group, my one and only sponsor. Listen, we have all got to be buying gold right now. I was talking to my financial advisor today. I believe we need to be buying gold. Even everybody who is trying to usher in CBDC, Central Bank Digital Currency, even those like the BRICS movement, that's Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa are trying to de-dollarize the globe and devalue the USD while simultaneously buying copious amounts, tons, literal tons of gold. The Biden administration is, while they bring in hyperinflation on you and I, which devalues the dollar, de-dollarizes the United States of America, causes hyperinflation, on purpose, the Biden administration is purposely causing hyperinflation. While they are doing that, they are buying gold. Which means the people who intend to bankrupt the planet are buying gold. So what should you and I be doing? I'm buying gold. I'm buying it from Midas. Midas is not a conservative company, a Republican company. They are a MAGA company. They're just like you and I. I'm talking about how Mike Johnson is nowhere near like you and I. He's a cuckboy leftist. But Midas is genuine MAGA. And those are the companies that you and I need to patronize. We need to do it now. Buy your gold. Buy it from Midas. And when you do, tell them that the TLP sent you. All right, Will, load up the next one for me. Liz Willer tweet. Biden changed the definition of sex. So far, we've changed the definition of vaccine and numerous other things.
Ugh.
And the definition of gain-of-function research, that's all been redefined.
Yep.
As soon as everybody gets caught in their malfeasance to criminal activity, they just change the definition of it. That's how they manipulate the crime statistics, too. We just won't call murder murder anymore, so now we don't have any murders.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have any murders. We don't call them murders. What do you call it? We just call it a secret word, but we don't have any murders anymore because we don't call it murders. So Biden now has changed. Remember, Title IX was basically that women's sports, totally against Title IX, by the way, in a lot of ways. Title IX was so there's equity in sports. Mm-hmm. Just like everyone's whining, complaining that Caitlin Clark is not receiving the same amount of money as LeBron James. Okay, the problem is that do you know what? You know how much money that the WNBA has brought in so far? Negative $300 million. That's fact. That's what they brought in so far, and you want to pay these people.
Yeah.
The NBA completely and totally subsidizes WNBA. Caitlin Clark on draft night, the first ever time anybody's ever watched the draft night, was up 300% on her draft night. That's what Title IX was about, was, again, equity, not equality of opportunity, equality of outcome.
Right.
Equality of outcome is socialism and communism.
Yep.
Equality of opportunity is capitalism, democracy, and a constitutional republicanism. But Title IX was for equity. But you know, let's just break that down. Let's just get away from what Title IX was intended to do, because I don't agree with all of it. But now, Title IX has been expanded. Not only are women allegedly going to get just as much money as men, and all what I mean by that is their funding for their sports and collegiate activities, and I'm assuming high school too. I believe Title IX stretches into high school, but for sure college. And it has to do with the funding that goes into women's sports and men's sports. But now Joe Biden has changed the definition of sex to include, Will, quit laughing, gender identity. And now Title IX requires schools to, Title IX, if you want Title IX money.
Yeah.
If you want, if your men's baseball team gets $2 million a year worth of funding, and you want your girl, and brings in $30 million, and you want your girls' baseball team to get their $2 million, and they lose $20 million per year. If you want that, because that's what Title IX is, totally disagree with the whole concept, but if you want your money now, you're going to have to allow men on girls' sports teams.
It's good to be a man.
Yeah, okay, it's all going to be done.
Yeah.
Because all when you're going to be recruiting, what are you going to recruit? Little dainty female? Or all the men pretending to be women? And you don't think men are going to do this?
Oh, yeah.
Men who are subpar high school athletes can now get full ride female scholarships.
Yeah.
You couldn't even make let me bring this out here. I'm blowing up my whole vaccine thing. You know who the girls' soccer team, this one, everyone, you know, they're. You know, Megan Rapinoe, and they're all so great.
Yeah.
Our women's soccer team, who sucks, by the way.
Yeah.
But you know who they actually practice against? Do you know? JV boys.
Yeah.
14-year-old boys. That's who they practice against. I showed a video.
I want to find it now.
Aaron's looking. I knew that he'd start looking.
Oh, yeah.
If you find it, it's fantastic. It's got the little bings on the end of all of it. I played a video of retired male soccer players fatter than me. These guys are full dad bod out. They're retired professionals playing our women's soccer team. And I believe the score was 12 to nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, the dad bods 12, our ladies soccer team in the prime of life, zero. So more, they're going to have to allow, you want your Title IX money? You're going to have to allow men in the girls' locker rooms. You're going to have to allow men to take girls' scholarships and force everybody has to use proper pronouns. You don't get your Title IX money.
Oh, disgusting.
Liz Reeler writes, absolutely grotesque, and she is correct. That's exactly, play it, Aaron.
Again, you got to be careful. There's a shot. And keeper. Nice spin move here by Lloyd. Lloyd! Another shot. And a player is running off of him. It's a big ask, but... Well, there's Trundle able to keep it with the left, and Trundle
so far so good in this game.
Trundle again diving, and this Murkoff trying to move around, and that's going to be Murkoff takes that shot with the
and swinging to make that perfect contact.
There's a turnover. Jarvis, there it is. 12-0. Wrexham defeats the U.S. women.
There you go. Just letting you know that the retired league just defeated the women 12-0. Just so you know. Well, we're going to skip that one. Let's go right to Camus. Can you get to that one for me? Camus, Brett Weinstein. I want to go over some mRNA stuff. Mandisa. She just passed away, 47-year-old Christian singer. I don't know whether she's vaxxed or not. I'm just telling you, it's very weird. Cause of death, unknown.
Mm.
Just very weird. I'm not saying she's vaxxed. Please don't get all over me. I'm just telling you, just so everybody knows, too, that a lot of this is being camouflaged because the people who are most often victimized by the mRNA experimental gene-altering drug are the elderly. Yep. We talk about the more sexy cases of professional athletes dropping on the field. Again, those statistics are 21 through just 23, 1,700 athletes dropped dead on the field from 2021 to 2023. The prior 50 years was 1,700. So for 50 years, 1,700 athletes dropped dead on the field.
Jeez.
And over 2021 through 2023, 1,700. So 2 years added up to 50. Kind of weird, isn't it? 20 million excess deaths, according to the Society of Actuaries, which is your life insurance companies. And they're all standing around with their thumbs up their rear end saying, wonder what's causing the problems here. Let's raise the rates. Oh, I don't know what causes the problem. Why would you have 20 million excess deaths that started not with COVID, not with the plague, but with the vaccines? That's when they started. Brett Weinstein here on Joe Rogan. Play for me, Will.
The mRNA message, this is a genetic message loaded into this platform, is surrounded by something called lipid nanoparticle. If those lipid nanoparticles stayed in your deltoid muscle, then their consequence would be localized. And although this consequence would be negative in your deltoid, it wouldn't be devastating to your health. But they, of course, don't stay in your deltoid, which we learned very early. They circulate around the body. And the problem is that that lipid nanoparticle, lipid just means fat. And because like dissolves like, the fat on these tiny particles causes the mRNA to be absorbed into any cell they encounter. All of your cells are covered in a fat layer. So wherever these things circulate around the body, they get absorbed. And when they get absorbed, they trigger the cells that have taken them up to produce this protein. Now, this is the important part. Your immune system is built so that it recognizes any cell of yours that is producing a protein that you do not ordinarily make, and it targets that cell and destroys it.
Like it's cancer.
Like it's virally infected. Yeah. So basically, their mRNA shots are a pseudovirus. They infect cells, cause those cells to make this protein, and then the immune system treats them like they are virally infected cells and destroys them, which if that happens in your liver, maybe it's not that serious. You can afford it. If it happens in your heart, it's potentially devastating because it creates a wound, which is then a vulnerability. If you're a soccer player and you're running particularly hard, you know, you can get a blood vessel that bursts in your heart, causing a devastating pathology, causing your death, for example. Right? This is a predictable consequence of a shot that has no ability to target which cells take it up and therefore no ability to protect you from your own immune system destroying the cells that have taken it up and giving you a lethal wound.
Really another version of antibody-dependent enhancement syndrome, just so you know, that we've been advocating here on the podcast since the vaccine rollout. Antibody-dependent enhancement syndrome, which turns your body from attacking bad cells to ushering bad cells around your own body. Right here, what happens is your genes are altered to produce spike protein. Your own cells see that your cells, they no longer recognize your cells as your cells. They recognize them as a cell that is producing something foreign to the body. Yeah. So your own cells that are genetically modified are being attacked by your non-genetically modified cells, causing a wound in the body, i.e. my heart swelling, myocarditis, lining around the heart swelling called pericarditis. Vigilant Fox video, Ed Dowd drops disturbing reality. Play for me.
There was definitely actions taken to promote the vaccine and make way for the vaccine. And you can make the case, and there's a lot of good work being done on this that I haven't done, but the work is that the protocols instituted in 2020 were designed to kill people to get the COVID numbers inflated.
And
if not designed, that was the net result.
Oh boy. Funny.
I mean, think about what they did. They got hospitals incentivized to identify a patient as COVID. Then they got money to put them on an intubator. Then they got money for remdesivir. And then they got money for the death. So, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out the incentives killed people unnecessarily.
And only so they could scare people into, oh, my gosh, you better get the shot. None of us are protected unless all of us are protected. That was a chant.
Look, if you're a hospital administrator, you didn't even need to be in on it. Just when you design incentives, you get the results you want from the incentives. So I don't think there was a hospital administrator, you know, rubbing his hands saying, I'm going to get the COVID numbers up. He was incentivized to do so, and he did, because he's a hospital administrator and he's got a bottom line. That's the sickness of this. He probably was unaware what these incentives would create.
I mean, Ken Lay didn't kill people.
No.
He just ripped them off. These people killed people for money, and they're still doing so.
Yeah.
You have to see it on both ends. So you have a gene-altering drug that kills you, and in order to get to the gene-altering drug that kills you, they kill you.
Yeah.
Let me give you the remdesivir real quick. 43 seconds left. This is from Dr. David Martin. Prior to COVID, Ralph Baric and Tony Fauci's pet drug, remdesivir from Gilead, had a 53% mortality rate. 53% mortality rate in clinical trials done, of course, in poor Africa. What was the only approved treatment inside of America? A drug that had a 53% fatality rate in its clinical trials.
Yeah.
So they kill you to get to a drug that will kill you. And all the Christians lined up and did exactly what these monsters told them to do. Join us at Foundation Church tomorrow. Love you all. God bless you in Jesus' name.
Everybody is captive to something. You will choose one of the three: God, the world, or the devil. You'll be captive to one of those three. You'll be captive to one of those. You need to choose your captivity wisely. Well, I just want to be free from God then. God, okay, free from God is hell. Free from God is hell. Why? Because every good and perfect thing comes from above. James 1:17. Every good and perfect thing comes from above. Anything that is so funny to me, because as people try to destroy America in the name of saving democracy, they destroy every good thing about the very America that hordes of people try to get into every day. Every good and perfect thing comes from above. So you're like, I just want to escape God. Then you escape every good and perfect thing. But you need to choose wisely. You need to know right now, what am I captive to? If there's other things more important to you than the gospel of Jesus Christ, understand that you're in captivity to the world of the devil.
If you enjoyed watching the Tom Lipley podcast, please consider investing in our program. Go to TomLipley.com and donate $25 or more, and we will send you this TLP mug warmer. We look forward to you tuning in next week, and thank you for giving.